Hey, good morning. How are the early risers doing? You guys all right? Man, thank you for getting up early to worship with us. You know, you guys are so much better than those sinners that are sleeping in and coming at 11. You are so much better. So I'm so glad you got up early. No, really, it does help us here at the Vineyard. Our 11 o'clock service, especially in our children's ministry, is getting overcrowded. So by you getting up early, it really helps free up some places for some people that might be wanting to check out our church. So thank you for getting up and worshiping with us. By the way, if you happen to be here for the very first time, you're a guest. Let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. I'm going to be giving the message out of the Bible in a moment. So if you have a Bible with you or you have an app, open it up to the last book in the Old Testament. It's called the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 10, but we're going to be all through Malachi chapter 2 in just a moment. But before we dive into that, we're going to receive our offering and we're going to pray, ask God to bless the offering. But most importantly, as we pray, what I want you to do is I want you to pray and say, God, would you speak into my heart? As we study your word this morning, as we look into the Bible, would you speak to me? You know, God does that as we ask him to do that. So we're going to pray for the offering and then pray for our hearts to be open to God's word. If the ushers want to come forward right now, that would be great. So would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the opportunity to give financially to your work in the world. And we know, God, that as we do that here at the Vineyard, whenever we do that, that you take our money and you really do use it to change the world one life at a time. I pray that whenever we give, God, financially to you, that you would use our money and you'd bless the use of it, bless the gifts that we give, bless us, Lord, in our faithfulness in giving back to you. And now, Lord, as we look into the scriptures, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come among us in a powerful way and that you would speak into every one of our hearts and minds. We right now, Lord, we try to set aside anything that might distract us from hearing what you want us to hear out of the Bible today. And Lord, for that to happen, I need your empowering. And so that's what I ask for right now. Would you come, Holy Spirit, and really empower my words that they would not just be from me, but that they would be from you and that you would be glorified by all that we do here this morning in the Vineyard. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a man and a woman say, with this ring, I thee wed. And a marriage is born. A group of men sign a piece of paper. We call it the Declaration of Independence. And they end it with these words. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. And a new nation is born. A father and mother hold their little baby in their arms in front of their church family. And they say to their church family, we promise that we're going to raise this child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And an expanded family is born. See, promises, they're a big deal, aren't they? Promises. And the fact is, we are a promise-making people. Marriages, families, businesses, churches, nations are all built on promises. We are a promise-making people. But unfortunately, we're also, at times, a promise-breaking people. We say, I'll be there, and sometimes we're not. We say, you can count on me, but sometimes you can't. You know, we promise something, but sometimes we break that promise for the sake of convenience or because of, you know, we want to avoid pain or whatever. So this morning, we're going to talk about relational excellence. And at the heart of relational excellence is this whole issue of promise making and promise keeping. And the Bible actually has a word for this whole issue of promise making and promise keeping. And it's a word that we don't use very often these days, but it's the word covenant. Covenant. Would you say that out loud? Covenant. Say it again. Covenant. You might say, well, what's a covenant? Well, a covenant is a vow, really. That's what it is. A covenant is a sacred pledge. It's a promise. You say, well, Brian, how did covenants begin? Well, they began with God. God is a covenant-making God. In fact, thousands of years ago, God created human beings, created Adam and Eve, and the first thing that God did is he made a covenant with them. God promised them that he would give them life and breath and food and meaningful work and relational intimacy. God promised that he would take care of them. And in turn, God asked them to be committed to him and to promise to obey only one command. That's all you have to do. Just obey one command. Don't eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. That's the covenant. I'll provide everything for you. Your part of the covenant is don't eat from the fruit of that one tree. But as we all know, Adam and Eve, they broke that covenant with God, didn't they? And that's one of the crucial spots in the entire Bible. Because you're thinking, well, how will God respond to this? Will God turn his back on disobedient children? But amazingly enough, God doesn't. In fact, even more amazing is God makes another promise. God promises in Genesis chapter 3 that one day he will send someone, capital S, who will redeem men and women from the evil one and from the curse of the law. The curse of the law. But, you know, human beings, they don't get much more faithful after that, do they? And the Bible says that the earth continued to be corrupt and full of violence. And so finally, God sent a flood to stop all the ungodliness. But there was one man, a man named Noah, who still followed God. And so God saved Noah and his family from the flood by having Noah build an ark. And then after the flood, God came to Noah and he said, Noah, I want to establish my covenant with you and with your descendants and with every living creature on earth. Never again will I destroy the earth with a flood. And Noah, I want to give you a sign of this covenant. It's called a rainbow. And Noah said, dope. And God said, I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and every time I see it, I will remember my covenant with you, and I will keep my promise. And God has, hasn't he? But unfortunately, the human race was very slow to learn. It was still filled with all kinds of corruption, all kinds of violence, and yet God refused to give up. And so God came once more to a very old man by the name of Abraham. And God said, Abraham, I want to make a covenant with you. And I know, Abraham, this is going to be hard for you to believe, but when you're 100 years old and your wife Sarah is 90 years old, you guys are going to have a baby. The two of you are going to have a baby. And the three of you are not going to have a single tooth between you. Not one tooth. The whole family. And you're going to be the only family at Target that has to buy Pampers and Depends at the same time. The only family. And God goes on and says, but Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation. I'm making this covenant with you. And I want to give you a sign of this covenant. And the sign of this covenant, Abraham, is going to be called circumcision. And Abraham said, how come Noah got the rainbow? I would much rather have a rainbow, God. If not a rainbow, why not something like a tattoo or a special handshake or something? Well, human beings continued to be faithless toward God after that. And so what did God do? God came to a man by the name of Moses. And God said, Moses, I'm going to deliver my people from bondage to the Egyptians, bondage and slavery, and I'm going to use you to do it. And I'm going to bring you into a land that's filled with milk and honey. It's flowing with milk and honey. And not only that, Moses, but I'm going to be your God, and you will be my people. And as a sign of this covenant, God put the law, the Ten Commandments, on two stone tablets. And those tablets were placed in a box that was called the Ark of the Covenant. There's that word again. And every time the Israelites saw it, they remembered there was a promise. They were people of the promise. But in spite of all this, the people continued to be unfaithful. They continued to break their promise to God. And still, God would not give up on his promise to them. And so finally, you know what God did? He sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to earth. And Jesus came to teach about the faithfulness of God. And on the night before Jesus died, he stood up in front of his friends with a cup of wine in his hand. And he said to them, this cup is the new covenant. Underline that word. The new covenant in my blood. See, it was the same old promise, God's eternal promise of love and commitment and mercy and forgiveness and all that, but it was also new. You say, well, Brian, what's new about that covenant? Well, that covenant was written in the blood of Jesus. See, the cross is the ultimate expression of God's promise to his children, the cross. See, the fact is, all through history, God is an excellent covenant maker, an excellent covenant maker. God says, I will keep my covenant to you. I will keep my promises to you no matter what. Isn't that good news? God is saying to you, I will keep my promises to you no matter what. Now, all of what I just told you, all of that is background for Malachi chapter 2. A couple of weeks ago, we started a new series studying the book of Malachi in the Bible. I've called this series Living Excellent Lives. Excellent Lives. And in Malachi 2, God sets the standard for relational excellence. And sort of the core statement of Malachi 2 is found in verse 10 that I had you turn to. It says this. Malachi says, are we not all children of the same Father? Are we not all created by the same God? Then why are we faithless to each other, violating the covenant, underline that, of our ancestors? God saying, why do you violate the covenant, which is so holy to me, by breaking faith with other people? Husband to wife, wife to husband, parent to child, child to parent, friend to friend. You want to know how seriously God takes covenant breaking? At the beginning of this chapter, Malachi 2, Malachi talks about priests who break covenant by failing in their commitment to minister to the people. See, these priests had made a promise that they were going to be spiritual guides to the people of Israel. But they have broken that promise. They had broken that covenant. Listen to what God says to them in verse 3. I will rebuke your descendants and splatter your faces with the dung. Do you know what dung is? you're not sure, ask the person next to you. They'll tell you later, okay? Faces with the dung of your festival sacrifices, and I will add you to the dung heap. You know what God's saying? He's saying, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to let you know that I take covenant breaking among human beings super seriously. And so what I want to do is I want us to look at four key covenant relationships that all of us have, or most all of us have in our lives. And the first key covenant relationship that Malachi talks about is the relationship that we call marriage. Marriage. Malachi 2, verse 13. Here's another thing you do, Malachi says. You cover the Lord's altars with tears, weeping and groaning because he, God, pays no attention to your offerings and he doesn't accept them with pleasure. You cry out, why has the Lord abandoned us? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows. Another word for that is the covenant you and your wife made to each other on your wedding day when you were young. But you've been disloyal to her, though she remained your faithful companion, the wife of your marriage vows. God's saying, don't be under the illusion that your worship and your prayers are acceptable to me when you're treating your spouse in an unacceptable way. That's a sobering statement, isn't it? God says, if you break faith with your spouse, don't be coming to me with your prayer list. In fact, God goes on and he makes one of the strongest statements in the entire Bible where he says in verse 16, for I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. Just by a show of hands, how many of you are married? Anybody here married? Okay, those who raise your hands. I just want to remind you, you know, when you got married, you didn't make a bargain with your spouse. You didn't make a transaction with your spouse. You made a vow. You made a promise. You made a covenant. And the violation of that covenant is very serious to God. Now, I know. A lot of people in our culture these days, they don't look at marriage that way. A lot of people in our culture, they look at marriage more as a sort of a conditional transaction. They think things like, well, if you meet my needs, and if it makes sense for me to remain married to you, then I will. But if you don't continue to meet my needs, or if I outgrow you, or if I get a better offer somewhere else, then I'm free to leave. But you know what? That's not the way God views marriage. It's not. See, in God's eyes, marriage is a covenant. And it's built on a promise. And that leads to a very different outcome, doesn't it? I want to tell you about one marriage that was built on a promise. This marriage is between a couple called Robertson and Muriel McQuilkin. And Robertson McQuilkin was the president of Columbia International University. And his wife, Muriel, ended up contracting Alzheimer's disease. And after caring for her as much as possible for 9 years, while continuing to lead the university, including having her come with him at times to the office and at times actually to some of his classes, Robertson came to the place where he found that it was unworkable to be her full-time caregiver and at the same time maintain all of his ministry commitments. And so he made the decision to resign from the presidency of Columbia International University. And I want to play for you his resignation speech to Columbia International University that he made in 1990. So let's go ahead and play that.
I haven't in my life experienced easy decision-making on major decisions, but one of the simplest and clearest decisions I've had to make is this one, because circumstances dictated it. Muriel, now, in the last couple of months, seems to be almost happy when with me, and almost never happy when not with me. In fact, she seems to feel trapped, becomes very fearful, sometimes almost terror. And when she can't get to me, there can be anger. She's in distress. But when I'm with her, she's happy and contented. And so I must be with her at all times. And you see, it's not only that I promised in sickness and in health, till death do us part, and I'm a man of my word. But as I have said, I don't know with this group, but I've said publicly, it's the only fair thing. She sacrificed for me for 40 years to make my life possible. So, if I cared for her for 40 years, I'd still be in debt. However, there's much more. It's not that I have to, it's that I get to. I love her very dearly, and you can tell it's not easy to talk about. She's a delight. It's a great honor to care for such a wonderful person.
Quite a guy, right? Quite a guy. If you're married, again, I want to remind you that when you got married, you made a promise. You made a vow. You made a covenant. In fact, if you're married and you wear a wedding ring, which, by the way, is always a good thing to do, would you take it off if you're able? I know, you know, the years catch up and things happen and we have a hard time. But if you're able to take your ring off, I want you to take it off so you can look at it just for a moment. If you can't take it off, just look at it on your finger. I want you to look at it because you know what this ring is? This ring is a sign of the covenant. It's a sign of the covenant, the promise you made. It's sort of like a rainbow. Because every time you see your ring, your wedding ring, it should remind you of the promises that you made. And so let me ask you, how are your promises going, those of you that are married? Do you remember your promises? To love and to cherish? For richer, for poorer? In sickness and in health? Till death do us part? You promised that you would be a servant. You promised that you would share what you have. You promised that you would laugh together, cry together, dance together. You promised that your love would go deeper than crow's feet and laugh lines and receding hairlines and bulging waistlines. You promised. So how are you doing on your promise? You know, I don't know where your marriage is at. Maybe it's been a difficult road the whole time. I don't know. Maybe it's been a smooth one. I hope it has. But either way, I thought it'd be good to give you the opportunity right now, during this service, if you want to renew your wedding vows, your marriage vows, your marriage commitment that you made to one another. And so if you and your spouse are both here and you want to do this, we're going to do it right now. So if you're married and you're here with your spouse and you want to do this, you both want to do it, stand up wherever you are. Stand up wherever you are. Now the rest of us, we're going to be witnesses to your marriage vow renewal service, okay, which is happening right now. So what I want you to do is give each other your rings if you're able to take them off. So husbands, give your ring to your wife. Wives, give your ring to your husband. Husbands, place the ring on your wife's finger. Look intently in her eyes. So you need to turn toward one another. All right, some of you are having a hard time with this. Turn toward one another. Look intently into her eyes and repeat after me. Once before I stood with you, before family and friends, once again I stand with you and take your hand as my wife. I promise to love you through whatever life may bring. Today I reaffirm my love and my devotion and my commitment to you. I give you this ring as a symbol of my love and the vows I renew with you today. All right, wives, place the ring on your husband's finger. Look intently into his eyes and repeat after me. Once before I stood with you, before family and friends, once again I stand with you and take your hand as my husband. I promise to love you through whatever life may bring. Today I reaffirm my love and my devotion and my commitment to you. I give you this ring as a symbol of my love and the vows I renew with you today. Now, I want to remind you, now you're no longer two, but you're one. Since God has joined you together, now let no one ever separate you. And so with great joy, and as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pronounce you husband and wife again. Husbands, you may kiss your bride. Husbands, you may kiss your bride. Go ahead, right now. Some of you need to get a room. This is not the place for that, all right? Just, you're married, okay? Now, let me say a word to those of you who are in a very different situation. What do you do when a marriage covenant has been broken? Because I know many of you are there. You know, maybe your marriage ended. Maybe you had a spouse who was unfaithful. You know, sometimes there's no alternative. Maybe there was misbehavior on your part. I don't know. But maybe, for a number of reasons, trying to rebuild that relationship is no longer possible. So if that's you, you need to hear this. I wrote it out so you'd have it down in writing. God says, I hate divorce. But God does not say, I hate divorced people. See, the Bible does not separate the human race into two categories, divorced people and non-divorced people. It does not do that. In fact, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible also says all, no matter what we've done, all can be redeemed. All can be redeemed. And so if you're experiencing or if you've experienced a broken marital covenant, you need to receive grace and mercy. And I hope this will be a healing community for you here at the Vineyard. In fact, if you're in that situation right now, we have a great ministry called Divorce Care. If you're separated from your spouse, you've gone through a divorce, this is a great ministry to help bring healing to you. And if you're in a patch in your marriage right now, and you're going through a tough time, we have free marital counseling here at the Vineyard. We'd love to help you. We'd love to come alongside you. Sometimes people just don't have the right tools in order to help them reestablish their relationship in a healthy way. And so if that's you, we'd love to come alongside you for free and help you with some free marital counseling. By the way, both of those, the divorce care and the marriage counseling information, can be found in our information center. But if you've gone through a divorce in the past, what I want to say to you is what I've written in your outline in number 5, is that no matter what happened in the past, you need to reset the standard of excellence in your relationships. Because see, what happens is people oftentimes go through the pain of a broken marriage, but then they never reset the standard of excellence. And so they end up grinding through one relationship after another, after another, after another. And they engage in a life of serial covenant breaking. So don't do that. You need to stop, reset the bar, and basically say to God, God, my value, if I ever get married again, is to honor my marriage covenant. I'm going to learn from my past. God, I'm going to grow and change and be accountable and do whatever it takes to live as a covenant keeper. So reset the bar. So that's the first key covenant relationship, marriage. The second one I want to talk about is parents and children. Parents and children. Now, this one usually doesn't involve an explicit covenant, you know, like in a marriage. You know, in a wedding, the promises are said out loud, right? For a child, you don't usually have to make any promises to get them. They just kind of show up, don't they? But you may not know this. There's still a covenant there. Children actually come with a little promise attached. And it's a promise that's supposed to be kept by the parents. And the promise is this. I'll be there for you, no matter what. I'll be there for you, no matter what. I'll love you, no matter what. I'll teach you how to read. I'll teach you how to ride a bike. I'll teach you how to throw a ball. I'll teach you how to do all kinds of stuff. I'll teach you about friends. I'll teach you about work. I'll teach you about love. I'll teach you every single thing I know about men and women, which is very, very little. I'll teach you about money. I'll teach you what's right and what's wrong. I'll teach you the Bible. I'll teach you about God. And I will do this whether you're genetically gifted or genetically challenged. Whether other people in the world think of you as a shining star or as someone who just kind of plods along. I will do this no matter what. Now, those of you who have children, I don't know what your kids are like. Maybe they're the best and the brightest. Man, I hope that's true for every one of you. You know, maybe they get great grades, go to the finest schools, embark on a successful career, and make you look like a genius. I hope that's true. You know, sometimes, maybe this is true for you. Maybe your child will struggle or go through depression or reject your values or run away from home, defy God. You know, there's no guarantees with our kids. But I want to remind you, when you entered into parenthood, you took on the no matter what clause. And you only get released from that clause when one of you dies. So let me ask you, parents, how are you doing with this covenant in your life? This no matter what. You know, if your kids are little or if they're teenagers, we have a couple of teenagers in our household. You know, we need to ask ourselves, are we spending enough time with them? Do you cherish your child's dreams and not try to put your dreams on them? Are you providing enough toughness, enough discipline, even though you're going to be the bad guy? Or do you continually just kind of look the other way? It's something we always have to evaluate. You know, are you teaching your kids about God? Are you bringing them to church? Man, hear this. Are you bringing them to church every single week? I implore you as your pastor, set that standard with your children. Set the standard of, this is what our family does. Our family loves Jesus, and therefore we love the body of Jesus, which is called the church. And so this is what we do as a family. We just go to church. Set that standard with your kids. It will help your kids so much and will make such a lasting impression on your children if you set that standard with them. And you know what? It's never too late. Maybe you have a child who's a little older or whatever, and you're like, we didn't do that. Well, you just go to them and say, you know what? As a dad, I messed up. I didn't set that standard. It was wrong. And I'm going to set that standard now. This is what we're going to do as a family. It will make such a lasting impression upon your children. So that's the second key covenant relationship, parents and kids. The third one is friendship. You know, the word friend, it really is one of the greatest words in the entire English language, isn't it? And I realize not every friendship can be or even should be kind of like a forever friendship. You know, a lot of friendships end. I understand that. But some friendships endure. The best friendships, they endure. Let me ask, do you have any forever friends? You have any friendships like that? If you do, there are promises that you've actually made to that person. You may never have made them out loud, but they're there. You promise things like loyalty. You promise that you're not going to betray each other's trust. You promise that you won't violate their confidence. There's also a truth promise. Truth promise. You know that if your friend has concerns about you, that you're not going to hear about those concerns from a third party. No, they will tell you themselves. It's a truth promise, and you'll do the same for them. And there's also a caring promise. Caring. You know that they'll be there for you in times of trouble. And you'll be there for them as well. Do you have any friends like that? How's your promise to them of loyalty and trust and care? How's that going? Let me give you one last key covenant relationships is marketplace relationships. In other words, relationships in the work world. Now, it seems like, you know, in today's society, this marketplace covenant, it gets broken more often than all the others. And I know for many of you in this room, that's happened to you. Somebody in the marketplace made a promise to you. Somebody shook your hand, looked you in the eye, signed a piece of paper, and then they broke faith. And they violated your trust. In fact, some of you have probably had your hearts broken because people in the business world broke faith with you. So if that's happened to you, I want to ask you something. Will you still have the character, to say something like, even though I've been hurt, and even though I've been betrayed in my vocational life, I'm still going to maintain a standard of excellence in the marketplace? Will you say, I will place integrity above all else? I'll have integrity in my deal making. I'll have integrity in my negotiating. I'll have integrity in my expense reporting. I'll have integrity in my supervising, my managing. I will honor all of my commitments. Will you say, even if other people break faith with me, my word will be my bond? That is so important. Marketplace covenants, they're very important to God. And as you can tell, this whole covenant-making issue, it's very serious to God, isn't it? fact, Malachi ends this passage with these words. He says, so guard yourself. And then he says, always remain loyal to your wife. Now, he uses the wife as the example. But we could put all of our relationships in there. Because really what he's saying is no matter what anybody else does, you need to guard yourself and always remain loyal. Who do I need to remain loyal to? My spouse, if I'm married. My children, if I have them. My friends. And my business associates. Always remain loyal. What do you think would happen around here if all of us became world-class covenant keepers? See, that's what God wants. So let me ask you, which one of these covenants do you feel like you need to work on the most right now? Would you pray with me? I'll give you an opportunity just in these last few quiet moments to do any spiritual business with God in your heart that you need to do. I don't know which one of these covenants you need to work on the most right now, but I think the Holy Spirit probably pointed that out to you. You know, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you need to work a little harder at that. Maybe you need to get some help. Get some counseling. Get some tools. Maybe it's with one of your children, or maybe it's with one of your parents, or both of your parents. Maybe it's with a friend. You know, sometimes I'll feel like, I just haven't been a very good friend to this person or that person. And I need to work on it. Maybe for you, it's someone in the business world. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's an employee. You know, broken covenants, when people break faith with us, man, it's painful. It causes so much pain. And I know there are a lot of you in this room right now that you have a lot of pain because somebody broke faith with you. Maybe it's your ex. Maybe it's a friend sort of stabbed you in the back. Maybe it's one of your kids. Maybe as I was talking about the no matter what clause between, with parents to their children, you grew up in a household that was anything but that. And it's caused you a lot of pain because your parents were not that kind of people. Well, the good news is no matter what pain you have, God wants to bring healing. And I believe that's one of the main things that God wants to do this weekend through this message is he wants to begin the process of healing for many of us in an area where someone has broken faith with us. And maybe it's somebody in the business world, whatever. And so if you're new to our church, we always pray for people at the end of our services. And so we're going to do that again, as we always do. And we're going to have a team of people, we call them a ministry team, up here at the front, at the altar, in a little while. I'm going to dismiss the service in just a minute. And then if you want to stick around and come to the front and have some people lay their hands on you and find out what you're wanting prayer for and then pray for you. You know, I believe God's going to bring some healing, a level of healing to some of your hearts over an area of somebody stabbing you in the back and breaking faith with you. So I strongly encourage you to stick around if that applies to you. But if you have another prayer need, we'd love to pray for you no matter what it is. So if you need a job, if you need healing in your physical body, whatever you need, we'd love to pray for you before you leave, okay? So we'll have a ministry team up here. And then next weekend, we're going to continue this series about living excellent lives. And we're going to talk about what does the Bible say about living excellent lives financially? How do we live excellent lives financially? So make sure you're here for that. Not going to want to miss it. Could everybody please stand? I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. And if the ministry team would come up right now, that'd be great. And if you're a guest here and you've never gone to a guest welcome, in the information center right after the service, doesn't take long, just a couple minutes. We'd love for you to stop by. We'd love to give you a bunch of information that you can take with you and then look at your leisure, okay? Would you receive this blessing from God in your life? Lord, thank you for all my friends here. And Lord, I know that many of them are hurting because of people breaking faith in some area. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring healing into their emotions and into their hearts, God, especially as they receive prayer today. I pray, God, that you would begin that process of emotional and inner healing in them. And I pray for our ministry team members, Lord, that you would really empower them and you would give them the spiritual gifts that they need, Lord, to effectively minister to these men and women that will be coming for prayer. God, let this be a holy time where your presence moves powerfully. But as we go now, Lord, I pray for all my friends. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace now as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Say hi to a bunch of people on your way out. Introduce yourself. God bless you. See you next weekend. Have a great week.